The topic for this week's panel discussion is work for cause and not applause. Maulana Suhaib Lasania will be hosting, Maulana Arshad Fakir, principal of Madrasa Muaz bin Jabal Crosby, and Maulana Abdullah Hajjad, ustad at the Springs Muslim School.
Alright, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome to our weekly panel discussion on Radio Islam International. My name is Suhaib, and inshallah I will be your host for panel discussion. As you heard the promo, our topic is work for cause and not for applause. What we're trying to highlight and what we're trying to discuss on this panel discussion will be that we would like to speak about people assisting others unconditionally. These days, people assist others with the intention of gaining recognition or as a public relation exercise. Everyone seems to be driven by marketing themselves. On the program, we would like to draw people's attention towards doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remaining focused with one's objectives. And inshallah, we'll be having two guests. Firstly, Maulana Arshad Fakir, who's the principal of Madrasa Muaz ibn Jabal in Crosby. And then we'll also be speaking to Maulana Abdullah Hajjad, who's the ustad at Springs Muslim School. We'll be speaking to these two alims. We do have our two guests on the line. Firstly, we welcome Maulana Abdullah Hajjad Saab, who's the ustad at Springs Muslim School. Maulana Abdullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you this evening, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, except for the bitter cold that we are experiencing. Other than that, alhamdulillah, quite well.
Jee, mashallah. Jazakallah for your valuable time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept it from you.
Ameen.
The second panelist that we have on our weekly panel discussion is Maulana Arshad Fakir Saab, who is the principal of Madrasa Muaz ibn Jabal in Crosby. Maulana Arshad Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to yourself and Maulana Abdullah Saab.
How are you this evening, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah.
And to you also, Jazakallahu khairan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept your efforts.
Ameen.
As just to remind our listeners on the panel discussion this evening, we would like to speak about people assisting others unconditionally. These days, people assist others with the intention of gaining recognition or as a public relation exercise. Everyone seems to be driven by marketing themselves. On the program, we would like to draw people's attention towards doing things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to remain focused with one's objectives. So that's our topic, work for cause and not for applause. So firstly, Maulana Abdullah Hajjad Saab, we would like to begin with you. When we speak about working for a cause and not applause, in essence, it comes down to sincerity with ikhlas. How do we define, explain what sincerity is?
At the very onset, let me say, make salam and give reply the salam of Maulana Arshad Fakir. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And let me also say that we make dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give myself, Maulana also, and give every one of us ikhlas and sincerity, whatever discussion we may have and take, whatever discussion may pursue and take place tonight over this panel discussion, and that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make it beneficial for each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to your question, Maulana Suhaib, that, you know, working for cause and not applause basically boils down to the question of sincerity. And what sincerity actually is, you know, if you do research and you try to find out the different definitions and meanings that ulama and scholars have given of sincerity, there are many different definitions that a person can find as far as sincerity is concerned. But all of these definitions, if you, you know, bring them down, and you, it all revolves around one meaning, and that is to shun the aspect of ostentation, to shun the aspect of showing off, to shun the aspect of doing for others. And to all our deeds and whatever we do should be done only to seek the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That purely what we are doing is only for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah was a very renowned scholar in the earlier eras. He used to say that anything of the pleasures of this worldly life which a person finds himself inclined towards, whether it be a little of it, whether it be a lot of it, whilst performing any deed, then that inclination towards worldly benefit during the carrying out of a deed will ruin the purity of the deed and will destroy the sincerity with which that person ought to have carried that deed out. So in simple terms, what Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is saying is that when we do things for any other reason besides the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we mix up our intentions. That on one side we say with tongue that we have our intention is to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, But on the other side, our intention also deep rooted in our heart is to get the attention of someone else or to do it for some other worldly gain or for some other worldly purpose. And Imam Ghazali rahimahullah is saying that this will destroy the sincerity and will destroy the action, the deed that has been performed. Someone else also so beautifully said that, you know, the people of wisdom, our ulama and our pious predecessors, when they speak about the definition of sincerity, they come to the following conclusion that one move, open affairs and concealed affairs, that the action that a person does in public, the action that a person does in his private capacity, should all be done for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, without mixing any other intention, whether that intention is to please one's own self, to make one's own self happy, or to fulfill one's own desires, or for any other worldly gain. So in essence, Mawlana, what sincerity actually is defined as, that we do everything and anything, whatever it may be something that we don't even regard as an ibadat, like treating our wives properly, treating our children correctly, spending on our families, running our businesses, whatever is done, must be done only and only for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This will then mean that we have sincerity in that action. What I must also say, the very upset, that sincerity is something that doesn't come overnight. That is why our Tabligh Jamaat brothers, when they speak about the first point in Tabligh Jamaat, the sixth point, they speak about tasheeh niyat. It is about the correction of intention. So we will take it forward from there, inshallah.
Jazakallah Mulana for that in-depth definition and explanation of what sincerity is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reality. Mulana Arshad Fakir Sahab, moving on to you now, Mulana explained to us and gave us a definition of sincerity. And as we know that many of the compilers of books on ahadith, they have all started their compilation with the importance of sincerity. As we are all, even those that are not alim, they know the hadith, innama al-a'malu bin niyat. So what can we draw from this, Mulana Arshad Sahab?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Mawlana, like Mawlana has made mention with regard to the importance of tasheeh niyat and the importance of having the correct intention. First and foremost, what is niyat is, as you said very nicely, Urdu dil ke irade, the intention from the heart. And that's where it all stems from. And you find that our pious predecessors, the muhaddithin, the scholars of hadith, and those who have compiled books of hadith, many had started with the books of hadith, what the hadith and verses of Quran and Majid with regard to intention, correct intention. Imam Nawawi in his Riyadu Salihin as well starts the chapter in Targhib wa Tarhib, as well as many Imam Bukhari rahimahumullah, etc. And this is they are unanimous, the scholars are unanimous, that without the sincere intention, then whatever work they're going to do, until there's no sincerity in the intention that it is done for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that work will be incomplete. They will not get the benefit for what they are doing that work.
Okay. Jazakallah, just to remind our listeners that this is our weekly panel discussion. We have two panelists. We have Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, who's the Ustad at Springs Muslim School. With him, we have Mawlana Arshad Fakir also, who's the principal of Madrasa Mu'az Ibn Jabal in Crosby. And the topic for this evening is work for cause and not for applause. Mawlana Arshad Fakir, sir, jazakallah for that explanation. Moving on further, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat, why is sincerity so important to us as Muslims?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As Mawlana Arshad Fakir said, our ulama and our muhaddithin, why they have started the kitabs with this aspect of sincerity, because acceptance of our a'mal and acceptance of our deeds are totally dependent on sincerity. If you look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a man on one occasion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, that O Nabi of Allah, I do deeds for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and at the same time I like to show the people my position. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not answer the statement or these words of this person what he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until it was revealed, a surah, an ayat of Surah Kahf that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which mentions that whoever expects to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then let him work righteousness and associate no one is a partner in the ibadat and the acts of worship that he carries out in the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who is most gracious and most merciful. So we see, first and most important thing, why is the sincerity important? Is because our deeds and the acceptance of our deeds is dependent on this aspect of sincerity. Secondly, Maulana, that sincerity to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is a sign of the completeness of our faith, the sign of the completeness of our iman. Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah and Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah have brought a hadith in which it is mentioned that whoever loves for the pleasure of Allah, he hates for the pleasure of Allah, he gives for the pleasure of Allah, he forbade for the pleasure of Allah, and such a person's complete faith and such a person's iman is complete. So that is the second most important thing. Taking it further, that Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahullah have brought a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that which of the three people can be said that they have really something to the nearest effect, which of the three people regarding whom it can be said that they have really participated in jihad? Is it the one who fights for bravery and courage? Or is it the one who fights for tribalism or nationalism? Or is it the one who fights to be seen or to show off? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the one who fights to uphold the message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is in actual fact the one who has fought in jihad. He has fought in the cause of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why when ulama speak about sincerity and ulama write about sincerity, they write that sincerity of deed for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is in essence and in actual fact a security and a protection for the believer from all different problems of life and difficulties of life. So basically, the importance of sincerity cannot be stressed enough. We cannot speak enough on the importance of sincerity as Muslims, as believers, as guidance of the Kalima La ilaha illallah. Whatever we do will be rewarded. Our sleep is also rewarded. Our business is also rewarded. Every action that we carry out in our life is rewarded. The manner in which we socialize with people, that is also rewarded by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on condition that whatever we are doing is done solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that is why sincerity is so important to us as Muslims.
Jazakallah Mulana Abdullah Sab for describing for us, for explaining to us why sincerity is important. Mulana Arshad Fakir, what are the rewards for those who are sincere?
First and foremost, if you understand that if a person does any deed and he's not sincere, then obviously that deed will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taking for example our aspect of salah, our zakah, etc., those deeds are only can be done for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if a person performs salah for show, that means he is now ascribing a pattern to Allah that he's doing this ibadah for somebody else, and that is not accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for every deed that he does, and he does it with sincerity, then like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an was going to Yemen, and that time Rasulullah Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, awsini, give me some advice. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, akhdis deenak yakfika al-amalul qaleel. That, O Mu'adh, whenever you're doing any deed, any action, then do it with sincerity. For a deed which is done with sincerity, no matter how little it is, but in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that holds weight. And that is why it is mentioned, ulama makes mention as well, it comes in the riwayah as well, that net niyat ek mustaqim ibadate. That just having a good intention alone is an ibadat. It's a separate ibadat and entity. For example, we all do, we every day, as the Mufti Taqi Sahib mentions this very nicely, and says that each of us do mabah things. Mabah means those things which are permissible. That by not doing it, then we will not get guna for it. And by doing it without a proper intention, we will not get reward for it. But if a person adds an intention to it, for example, every person gets up in the morning and every person wants to go and has to earn some money to bring some food for his family. Now if that person goes to his business, going to work, whatever it is, but he just changes his niyat a bit, that I am doing this because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made it necessary for me that I should look after and take care of the needs of my family. And by that he's doing it because Allah has commanded me to do it, that person, and also I'm going out to and seek a halal rozi, a halal income, because Allah has ordered, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that it is important and necessary for us to go and acquire halal rozi. So in a similar way, I'm going out for this, but he makes his intention because Allah has commanded me, I'm doing it because I need to go and seek a halal rozi, etc. A person will get reward for it. Similarly, for example, let's take example of washing the car. We all want to wash our car, we find it dirty sometimes. Many times we just drive into the car wash, they wash the car and we move away. But if a person does it with the niyat, that Islam teaches us cleanliness, And Islam teaches us to be neat. And therefore, I am doing this so that I may be clean, my car, my vehicle may be clean. What the intention that Islam has ordered us to do is, a person will get reward. So a person gets reward, and an action is accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon the reward, upon the intention done. And if sometimes we do one deed, we just do one deed, but we find that we have several intentions to those deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for every niyat that we make. A person may be going to the masjid, but he makes intention that I'm going to the masjid, and while I'm going to the masjid, one is the command of Allah, secondly, on the way I'll meet people, I will make salam to my Muslim brother, if there's anybody walking, I will try to give them a lift. All these are nek, good intentions he has, and while he has this intention, and many a times if he does not even accomplish or doesn't do something that he intended for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him upon the intention that person had made.
Indeed, Jazakallah for that beautiful explanation. From that we understand also, listeners, that correctness and incorrectness of our actions will depend on our intentions. A person will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the level of his intention. Doesn't matter how good the action are, if that action is not done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that action will be rejected from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, if a person does that any action, like how Maulana also gave beautiful examples, and then a person will do something that is mubah, also something that is permissible, or then upon that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward that person. Now Mawlana Abdullah, moving on further, is there a great need for us to continuously assess our levels of sincerity?
Mawlana, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, you know, if we take an example, Mawlana Rashad Fakir gave the example of a car wash, so let's stick to the cars. Let's not go out of the cars now. You take the example of a car. A person buys a car, a brand new car, he spends so much of money in purchasing that car, he uses that car. And continuously he uses that car, he doesn't worry of checking the oil, he doesn't worry of checking if there's water in the car, he doesn't check the tire pressure, he doesn't check his tires, whether his tires are worn out or not. Then what is going to happen? Eventually he's going to land himself in destruction. That car is going to get damaged, all the money that he spent, and all the good that he has done to purchase that car, all that is going to be wasted, and all that is going to be thrown away. Now it's going to cost you so much to do all the repairs again. You rather sell the car, or rather get rid of the car and buy another car. In a like way, this aspect of sincerity is just like that new car. The sincerity is like that new car. All the time we need to keep a check on it. All the time we need to assess it. We need to look at it. That is it correct? And we need to correct our intentions all the time. That is our ulama. Our ulama tell us that intentions and sincerity is such a thing that before we do an action, we must think of the intention and make that intention that I'm doing this action for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. While we are doing that action again, we must check our sincerity. We must check our intention and renew our intention that I'm doing this for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And after we do that action, we must make istighfar. But ya Allah, we wanted to do for your pleasure. If anything came in between, we ask your forgiveness. So yes, indeed, it's of utmost and imperative, and it's very imperative that continuously we assess our levels of sincerity, where it is, how far it is, how low it has gone, and you know, try to work upon in such a way that it picks up all the time and it goes up all the time, so that our heart and our actions can only and only be done for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
JazakAllah, Mawlana Arshad Fakir, now after we heard about the importance of acquiring a sincerity, after we heard about the importance of sincerity and the reward of sincerity, is sincerity a difficult quality to acquire and uphold?
Mawlana, actually for sincerity, and as we mentioned in the beginning, it comes from the heart. So most important is a person has to work on his heart. And until a person does not work on his heart, we will find that we will not be able to receive these qualities that Allah Ta'ala wants us to have, and we will not be able to stay away from those diseases that Allah Ta'ala wants us to stay away from. For example, in today's discussion, which is known as riya, doing things for show. So in the hadith, for example, in every Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created our body, and every part of the body is important. And if a person has the eye, you take the hand, everything got its function and everything is important. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, ala wa inna fil jasadi muzgha, that in the body of insan there's a small piece of flesh. Idha saluhat, if that flesh is correct, then the entire body is correct. And if that is corrupted and ill, then the entire body is ill. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, and that is the heart. So the working on the intention starts from within. And it is that a person has to, at all times, make some mehnat and effort upon attaining this quality of ikhlas. Just like a person has to make an effort of staying away from bad deeds, similar, a person has to make effort that a person must try to see that his actions are only for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is why we learn, and how do we bring this in, is that when a person is doing any action, then obviously you clear your mind, you try your utmost best that this is done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will work, it works slowly. For example, when a person will start reading salah, in the beginning sometimes a person will have the little bit of show will come in, but slowly, slowly, and a person works on it, inshallah, it will come to the stage that now a person will have total sincerity. And a person, how to do this is that a person, when he starts his action, then he brings it in front of him that I'm doing this action only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give me reward for what I'm doing. And then while he's doing the action, as we learn from our kabirin and our elders, is that a person should now again ponder that is my intention the same when I started? Is my intention the same as when I started? So now he again thinks upon his intention, and if he finds that he moved a bit, then again come back that no, I'm doing this action only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the action again, he then again ponders that did I do this action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? And in that way, he make dua after doing the action that Allah should grant him total sincerity in this action and in every other action that he will carry out after that, inshallah.
You are listening to our weekly panel discussion, and the topic that we have is work for cause and not for applause. And we have our two esteemed guests. One is Mulana Arshad Fakir, Mulana Abdullah Haddad. Once again, Mulana, these days people assist others with the intention of gaining recognition or as a public relation exercise. So if you are doing things simple to please people and gain acknowledgement, is this a sign of insincerity?
Basically, if the intention behind any deed is not the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then inevitably it will be some worldly consideration. It will be something which will be sought from creation, it will be asked from creation, such as fame, such as dignity, such as wealth, etc. So consequently, actions will be done before the people to impress the people. And these people, they then look at the doer, and they will think this doer is a saint, this doer is a very pious person, and they will shower him with gifts, and give him big titles, etc. Unfortunately, these things are short term, they are cash return, immediate return, while the year after is based on credit or long term returns. Thus, if a person's sole aim is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then obviously his nafs and his carnal self will try to become an obstruction by casting some kind of deceptive ideas in the heart. It is for this very reason that our ulama write and our ulama tell us that of all evil traits, ostentation, which is to show off, is the last to disappear, requiring great efforts to uproot it. So if we look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard, that when people will do things to get acknowledgement, to simply please other people, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you get a person, something to the nearest effect, who will perform salah for show, then Nabi alayhi sallam said he has committed shirk. Nabi alayhi sallam further said, a person who keeps fast for show, he has committed shirk. If a person gives charity for show, he has committed shirk. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, there's a narration that comes in the commentary of the Arba'een of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah regarding a sahabi, if my memory serves me correct, by the name of Shaddad bin Aus radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that on one occasion he was weeping and he was crying and sobbing, and someone asked of him that, oh Shaddad, why are you crying, why are you sobbing? So he replied and he said that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the greatest fear that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with regards to his ummah, with regards to you and I, was that of shirk, and together with that and coupled with that is concealed desires. That what is in our heart, that we are doing an action in front of everybody, it looks like we are doing an action of act of ibadah, but in our heart, what is our intention? Are we doing this action to merely get the pleasure of someone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To get the attention of someone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If that is the case, then so Shaddad bin Awsay, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the greatest fear I have for the ummah. So Shaddad says that I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, after your demise, will this ummah fall into shirk? He was astonished. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, they will fall into shirk. But they will not worship the sun or the moon, or they will not worship stones or idols, you know, like how the Arabs worship Lat and Uzza, etc. They will worship their actions. Now what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That they will do their actions, and instead of making that action solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are doing it for someone else. And this was the fear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had as far as this ummah is concerned. So yes, Maulana, to answer your question, there will obviously be that element of insincerity if any action is done to please anyone else other than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah, Maulana. Maulana Arshad Faqir, moving on to you now. Sometimes people do things in private while hoping to be seen by the people. Is this also regarded as insincerity, Maulana?
Ji, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you look at that, that is also a form of insincerity and a form of riya, showing off at least. Ikhlas, when a person has ikhlas and does anything, it should only be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am doing this action only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not that I must be seen and for anybody else to say that I'm a pious person, or if a person is giving out charity, then I am a very this person is very this person is giving charity, so he is a very rich person and he's a very generous person, etc. So even if a little type of riya comes in there, that is a sign of insincerity, and that is what a person should try to stay away from.
Indeed, Jazakallah Mulana. So respected listeners, from this we understand that whatever amal, whatever actions that we are carrying out, we are doing, let us only and solely do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for our actions to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts what is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Ikhlas is very vital and essential in a life of a Muslim. Even shaitan runs away from a sincere person. Shaitan does not deviate a mukhlis and a sincere person. That's why when we find in the Quran that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed shaitan, then at that time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expelled shaitan from Jannah, then shaitan took an oath and he says that لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Shaitan says, I will definitely try and deviate each and every human being except for those that are sincere slaves, those that are mukhlis slaves. So shaitan was forced to make an oath, and shaitan had to say that he will only spare those people that are mukhlis, those people that are sincere. So we understand the importance of sincerity, and we understand the harms of ostentatious, we understand the harm of riya and insincerity. Now Maulana Abdullah Hazrat, moving on further, what about those who do good actions in private but have a self-righteous attitude?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maulana, in Surah Zumar of the Quran al-Kareem, which is in the 23rd juz of the Quran, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes reference to this aspect of sincerity on three different occasions. And in each of these occasions, this reference and address you obviously is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the very second verse of the surah says, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haq, fa'abudillaha mukhlisan lahuddin. That undoubtedly and verily, we have revealed the Quran to you, we have revealed the book to you, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have revealed it with haq, with the truth. So worship Allah and Allah alone, and making your worship exclusive and only for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Further in the surah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. That say, O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I have been commanded by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to worship Allah, and not just to worship Allah, but making all my acts of worship only for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another verse of the very same surah says, Allah ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلِ اللَّهَ أَعْبُدْ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. Say that it is only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala who I worship, and making my worship only for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So all these ayat of the Quran, of Surah Zumar, refers to the importance of sincerity. Now we are coming to the question of self-righteousness. Now this is a very, very, very destructive and a very, very destructive quality that has, you know, sometimes creeps into humanity and sometimes creeps into people. That what the self-righteousness, one is to be righteous. Now, righteous, this is a commendable quality. It is an excellent quality. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they taught us to be righteous. But self-righteousness, on the other hand, this has seemed to become very, very rife amongst ummah. Not that we are anyone to judge, but we see it happening. And you know, it is such a quality that is brings about arrogance. It brings about a sense of superiority. And this is not the sunnah way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not preach this. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to have strong iman. And to have a strong iman, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us something that is called humility. Husn-e akhlaq. This is a very, very integral part. And a very important part as far as our deen is concerned. There are in some kitabs, it is suggested and it is mentioned that some people are so arrogant and claim that whatever they believe is absolutely correct. Whatever they do and whatever they believe is absolutely correct and cannot be questioned. Nobody should even dare even question such people or any aspect as far as their belief is concerned. On one occasion, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so the very incident, the beautiful incident that I come across, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told Dawood alayhi salam, that, O Dawood, give good news unto the sinners and warn the righteous. So Dawood alayhi salam was astonished that, and he responded and he said to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that how should I give good news unto the sinners and warn the righteous? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, that, O Dawood, give good news to the sinners and tell them that I am prepared to accept their repentance. I am prepared to accept their repentance and forgive their sins. This is the good news you should give to the sinners. And how should you warn the righteous? That warn the righteous and tell them that they should not have a self-admiration for the act. Now, you know, in Arabic, it's a very beautiful word for self-righteousness or self-admiration. They call it ujab. Ujab. Just ujab is such a thing. It's such a thing. It is like the magnification of a person's virtues. It's an exaggeration of a person's virtues. That a person exaggerates his amal. He exaggerates, he amplifies his good deeds. He excuses himself from fault and he looks down upon others. And this is the very worst, this is the worst thing. That when he looks at himself as a righteous person, that he is doing ibadah. You know what, I get up for tahajjud every day. Look at that person, can't even make it for fajr salah. Forget tahajjud salah. And he looks down upon people. That I fast every Monday and Thursday, but this person working with me in the same workplace, he doesn't even fast in Ramadan properly. So we look down upon people. That will happen when the quality of self-righteousness will come into us. The quality of ujub. Scholars have warned about the dangers and the pitfalls of self-righteousness. In fact, a very renowned scholar and a renowned faqih and jurist who you used to say that ujub and self-righteousness and self-admiration of a person's deed hides goodness. It hides goodness. It reveals evil. It earns criticism. And it is an obstacle to virtue. It is an obstacle to virtue. If a person has that kind of an attitude where he looks at himself as an abid, he thinks of himself as an abid, he thinks of himself as abudun nas, the greatest of worshippers, and he looks down upon other people. He looks down, that person doesn't even have a beard. Alhamdulillah, my beard. Rather than promoting not to have a beard, but what we are trying to say here is that let us never ever create this perception of others, that if we see them doing something wrong, let us not never ever compare our goodness and the good that we are doing to their wrong. Because that can never happen. That is in fact destructive for ourselves. You know, we can wear two garments at one time. We can wear the garment of pride, we can wear the garment of self-righteousness. If we have to describe and have to start talking of what these two garments are, then one of the things, we're not going to have enough time on the program. But nevertheless, what is trying to be said, that self-righteousness is destructive. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala abhors it. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala does not like it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach that to us. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you just look at one incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person committed an act of adultery, that person was to be given the punishment as per prescription of the Quran Kareem, and that was to be stoned to death. When that woman was given the punishment to be stoned to death, and when she was stoned to death, some people were talking and Nabi alayhi salam overheard. That what a silly person, she could have kept quiet, she shouldn't have said what she had done, and she should have been saved. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reprimanded those people that don't look down on the action of that person, because that person has made such a tawbah, that tawbah is such a tawbah that nobody can make such a tawbah. It's such a big tawbah and such a great tawbah that person has made. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has accepted the tawbah of that person. So what does Nabi alayhi salam teach us here? Yes, the person was given punishment. And punishment was given for an evil act, for an act of disobedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But even in that punishment, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even allow us to look down upon others and look at ourselves. So it's a very, very evil trait and a very evil quality to bring in ourselves. We must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah rid us of such qualities. Allah save us from such qualities of self-righteousness and self-admiration of our deeds and our a'mal. Never ever look at our a'mal. We may doing a'mal, we don't have guarantee of our a'mal being accepted. Others may not be doing a'mal, but we don't know later in the life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the opportunity of making such a tawbah, and they will start doing such a'mal that will supersede the a'mal that we have been doing.
Yes, indeed, Mulana, that what you mentioned, it's mentioned regarding Hazrat Ma'ruf Karfi rahmatullah alayhi, he used to reprimand his soul. He would say to himself and say, Ya nafsu akhlisi takhlusi, O my soul, O my nafs, be sincere and adopt ikhlas so that you can be saved from Jahannam. And these were the statements of Hazrat Ma'ruf Karfi, Ya nafsu akhlisi takhlusi, O my soul, be sincere and adopt ikhlas so that you can be saved from Jahannam. And this is what Mulana Abdullah Hazrat mentioned, that we don't have a guarantee of acceptance of our amal. Now moving on to Mulana Arshad Fakir, is it a sign of insincerity that Mulana, a person feels entitled to reverence and respect because of a righteous life that person is living?
See, Mulana, I think Mulana Abdullah Sahib had summed it up in this question. Also, the answer will come in Mulana's and in Mulana's explanation. And a person will only want this type of reverence and respect is when the ujub start coming in a person's heart. That I am some type of a righteous person, and because I'm doing these good actions, so people need to see it. And once a person has this feeling that, you know what, people need to see and look towards me, what a righteous life I'm living, that is when it creeps in from there, that this is now ujub is coming in a person's heart. So definitely this is a form of insincerity, and it grows from here. And if a person does not work upon it in the beginning stages, then obviously it will continue, and then a person will completely will do things for show, and insincerity will be removed from a person's heart. But one we must also understand, Maulana, is one is that a person does an action and he doesn't wait for any type of respect or any type of, if a person is doing any good to somebody, he doesn't wait for any recompense from it. If a person doesn't wait, and if someone comes forward and they recompense him for whatever, it is then a person is not questionable about it, because here he didn't ask for it. But this came, and many a times we find we need to look at it in two ways. One is the person who is doing the action, he shouldn't wait for some type of respect or some type of acknowledgement from the next person. And an action or something good which is done to the next person, we learn from the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, where the person for whom it is done, that person should try to appreciate and thank that person and respect that person for the action that person had done towards him. And this we find in the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salam teaches us that even a person, for example, the very famous hadith, "Man lam yashkuri nas lam yashkuri Allah." A person who cannot be thankful to the creation will not be able to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously this is not for the person who is doing the action that I'm waiting for people to thank me. He should, that I only did it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if somebody appreciates his service, if somebody sees him and grants him the respect, that's another matter. But for the person doing the action, he should only do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah, Mulana. I'd like to begin with Mulana Arshad Fakir first, that when we speak about sincerity, there are obviously two angles to it, there are two dimensions to it. The first is a person's dimension, which would entail our personal acts of worship, etc. And then second is in our interactions with others, how we interact and how we deal with other people. This would perhaps entail helping others in whatever way possible. Is there a greater fear that we may be doing something for name and
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana, I think first and foremost, it would be nice if the listeners could phone in and give some type of input from their side. It will make the panel discussion more active as well. But be as it may, Maulana, first and foremost, as we made mention, that obviously there are always two angles to our ibadat. One is with regard to ta'alluq ma'allah, but that ibadat which is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to do with the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is known as huququllah, with regard to the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then the other aspect is obviously huququl ibad, with the rights of people. And we find that obviously first and foremost we must also understand that just before going to the actual question that Maulana asked, is with regard to the ibadah that a person does. Very important is that the two aspects must be taken in consideration. One is the truth and one is sincerity. What is meant by truth is that the ibadah that we are doing, is it one is the sincerity, purely intention for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and second aspect, the truth, is it straight and in accordance to the dictates of Sharia and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us from. If a person, for example, observes his entire salah from takbir right up to the end in accordance with the sunnah, and which is the correct method, and the person does it without with an insincerity, without sincerity, and not doing it for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then there is lack of sincerity. This ibadat will be thrown back at a person's face because it has not been done for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. On the other hand as well, one must understand that if we do everything for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but it is not done in its correct method, then too this will be disapproved and will not be approved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a hadith comes to mind, at one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen a sahabi performing salah, but he did not perform it in the correct manner. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Qum, let's stand up, fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli," then perform salah, for verily you have not performed salah. And the person did it about thrice. Why? Because his action was not in accordance to the sunnah method of performing the salah. So, and that is why our akabirin makes mention, if I'm not mistaken, I heard this from Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani, Damar Barakatuhum, and said that Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hay Arafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was his sheikh, used to make mention that many a times those people who get involved in bid'at and innovations of deen, they have sincerity. That is why they are doing it. They are doing it to gain the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But because the method is wrong and they lack the actual truth, therefore the deeds are vain, and instead of getting sawab, they will not be getting any sawab, and this will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first and foremost is that the actions that we carry out with regard to salah, etc., should be done in accordance to the sunnah, should be done in accordance to how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants a servant to carry it out. Now the second aspect comes, Mawlana, with regard to when we are helping and doing huququl ibad, we are helping somebody, whatever it may be. Then obviously there is that greater fear that maybe a person does it and for the show, because now a person will do it so that people may say that so and so is a generous person, and the person wants people to say that so and so, he is one who gives too much to a lot to our organization, and he wants name, and when he comes in the gathering as well. So this is also something that a person needs to fear. It's a great fear that a person should only do it. It is sometimes better off that a person does the action with no intention. That means he's not doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he carries out, but he didn't have an intention of that people must look at him for riya. Perhaps that intention will be accepted in the court of Allah. For example, we look at the incident of a person who gave water to the dog to drink. We know the famous incident. It was a prostitute. She came to the well, and after she had quenched her thirst, she seen a dog sitting there who was trying to get some water to drink, very, very thirsty. She then put down her boot or whatever it may be, took out some water, gave the dog the water to drink. She didn't have, if you look at it, she didn't have an intention, perhaps, that she's doing it maybe for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She did it as a humanitarian aspect, out of some type of feeling that the dog is going through hunger. But because she didn't do it out of show also, Allah ta'ala accepted that action in such a manner that Allah ta'ala forgave her evil that she was doing. So it's very important that a person should not wipe the good that he does with little bit of riya which comes in to a person's heart to say that I must do it so that people may say that I'm such and such person and that people may talk about it. Because then obviously, as we know in the hadith of Allah, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people will be brought on a day of qiyamah, and these actions will be brought in front of them and said that now go and get the recompense and go and get the reward from those people that you have done the action for. And obviously, where can a person go on that day? And the person will be taken and will be flung in the fire of Jahannam.
Jazakallah Mulana for that detailed explanation. And now just to remind our listeners, as Mulana Arshad Fakir also mentioned, if our listeners wants to contribute or wants to ask the panelists any questions, then you can call us on 011-854-1548 or you can SMS us on 48855. The SMS number is 48855, or you can even WhatsApp me on 076-786-2984. So you can contribute or you can ask any questions to these panelists, but it should be regarding the topic, work for cause and not for applause, insincerity and ikhlas, sincerity of intention. This is a topic that we are discussing. Now, Mulana Abdullah Sahib, that Mulana Arshad Fakir Sahib mentioned regarding Hukukul Ibad, that angle also. And earlier on in the first hour, Mulana, you mentioned the hadith that وَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ يُرَائِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ, that whosoever gives charity for show, for insincerity, then indeed that person has committed shirk. Now, the question that we want to ask you, Mulana Abdullah, is when you give a donation to an organization or you help someone, but there are strings attached to it and you want to dictate to the recipients what to do. Is this also acceptable? Does this also classify in ria, Mulana?
Mulana, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Mulana, this is a very delicate question. And I say delicate question, there are many people that may be listening that, you know, don't want to listen to what the truth is regarding this question.
Hmm.
We got it, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make the truth come out of our heart.
Amen.
And come out into our tongue, and it's only that which is haq and that which is truth.
Amen.
Basically, Mulana, if I give you a sweet, I can't tell you how to eat the sweet and I can't tell you when to eat the sweet. I'm only giving you the sweet. My responsibility, my humanitarian or your humanitarian right, if I'm eating a sweet in your presence, I can't leave you staring and look at me eat the sweet. I must give you a sweet. So I give you the sweet. But when I give you the sweet, you take the sweet and put it in your pocket. But I can't dictate to you and tell you that why you're putting the sweet in your pocket. Why don't you take the sweet and I'm giving you the sweet to eat. Possibly you, I don't know what is your situation. I don't know what is your need for the sweet at that moment. Possibly you're thinking, Mulana, you know, the sweet person that you are, you're going to take it home for the wife. You know, whatever it may be. So I can't dictate to you how you must eat the sweet and when you must eat the sweet. In the like way, Mulana, here we are giving donation to organizations. We are giving donations towards masajid, towards madrasa, towards Darul Uloom, etc. The Darul Uloom, the masajid, they have a need. Nobody owns the Darul Uloom. Nobody owns the masjid. It is run by people, but nobody can claim ownership over it. The house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it's the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But it needs to be run, and people need to be put in the position that can run our mutawallis, etc. Now when they come out for donation and they ask for money, we cannot give them money and tell them, but you know what, this money of mine is very pure, don't use it for maintenance of the toilets in the masjid. Now that is not correct, that is not the correct attitude. We are giving, as we have been mentioning throughout the night, for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Whatever we are giving is to please Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and when we are giving it to that organization, we must give it to that organization and make them and give them full authority to utilize that money where they deem it necessary to use it in the organization. Obviously provided that it must be used with trust also. It shouldn't be such that the money is being given and the organization is misusing that wealth. The organization is using that wealth in an inappropriate way, then that they are answerable for. But from our side, when we give that money, we cannot dictate to the organization that, you know, I'm giving this money, but I want my money to be used only to pay the muazzin, because then I can get the share in the reward of the azan that the muazzin is giving. That is not the point. That is not the point that we are looking at. The point that we are looking at is that we need to give that organization for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as we call it, lillah, for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we give it for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and what the organization do with it, how they use it, when they use it, that is now their prerogative, provided, as I mentioned, they will use it in the correct avenues. So, Mana, this is, it's not acceptable, because, you know, two reasons. One is if we dictate and we tell the organization that here's my money, but I'm giving you this money, you must only use it for this particular purpose. We are basically making this binding upon that organization. And secondly, we are now making it difficult for the organization. Now they need to keep that money separately. They have to worry that you want your money to be used in this particular way. Now, you know, it becomes difficult for the organization. So thus, it is not appropriate. It shouldn't, you know, we cannot say it is acceptable also that when we give charity towards organizations, that we put some strings attached to it. Or, you know, when we say strings attached to it, sometimes we say that I'm giving you people the money, but you people must see to it that you tell the musallis the musalla behind the imam is my musalla. Nobody else can sit on that musalla. This is not correct also. This is also not the right attitude. Now we come to the masjid and we find someone sitting in the musalla. Now we throw up a tantrum of the organization. But I gave you people millah. I gave you people so much. I gave you like 100,000 rand or 200,000 rand to purchase my place. How? Why did you tell this person he cannot sit here? When we give charity, we give for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is our only intention, that Allah must be happy with us. Allah, in fact, we should make shukr. We should make shukr that this organization came to ask us for help, came to ask us for support, so we can give them our charity. Otherwise, where are we going to spend the charity? So we should be grateful. Now we're going to put strings and we're going to attach strings to it and we're going to dictate. This is incorrect and this is not the way to go. This is not acceptable and we should refrain and abstain from that. On the other hand, Marana, what we must also say, if you're giving charity to help someone, to help an individual, now we are not talking of an organization, we are talking of an individual. Now you know the individual is of such a person, is such a kind of a person who must use his wealth. He buys drugs or he uses the money to purchase alcohol and do all the wrong things. Now in that case, there may be some scope where we can say and we can tell that person that please don't do wrong with this drug, with this money. Don't go buy drugs. Don't. That is fine. That is fine. To tell a person don't buy drugs, don't buy alcohol, don't do wrong, don't make zina, don't go buy haram things or that. That we can do. We can say that. There is no problem. We are making da'wat and saving the person or trying to save the person from doing the wrong. After that, whatever he does, it's his conscience. If we feel that he is going to must use the charity that we are giving him, then instead of giving him the cash, let us give it to him in kind. So we don't have to dictate also, and we don't have to instruct also. So there are two angles to this one. One is, we should refrain from dictating when giving charity. But if we know the situation, and we know the person to whom we are giving, then in that case, to instruct or to tell the person not to do the wrong with it, that would be fine, that would be permissible.
Ji, Jazakallah, Mawlana. Now, Mawlana Ashraf Fakir, earlier on also in the first hour, you mentioned the hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ, that those people that do not thank mankind, thank people, then indeed they are not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by nature we like to be appreciated, Mawlana. By nature we like to be thanked for whatever favors we do to other people, and like that people show gratitude to us also. For what do we do, for any action that we do for them? Is there anything wrong with that, Mawlana?
Maulana, the thing is, when doing the action, we need to see that we're not doing. One is that like Maulana mentioned, that it is naturally, it is man's nature that they feel to be appreciated for something that they do. One is the appreciation, and one is that a person just want name for it. That a person, for example, they appreciated it, they thank you. Even if you did the thing, for example, in quiet, they thank you, Jazakallah bhai, you did a lot of work, Allah reward you, they make dua for you. That is appreciation, no problem, a person got it, Alhamdulillah. But now waiting in public, so that whenever the person comes forward and you're waiting, somehow he must bring the topic out with regard to what you have given him. Like Maulana mentioned, if you're helping somebody on a personal basis, not an organization, for example, and say, oh, okay, you still got that money that I have given you. Or, you know, that is now, obviously now, is not, you're not asking the person to show appreciation. Now what you're actually asking the person is that he must show off in front, that he must mention it so that you, your name can be mentioned, and it is a type of showing off, a type of riyah, that now people must talk, that so-and-so had given this person so-and-so, and look what of a generous person. So by nature, men always we look for appreciation, be it from our family, be it from our children as well. A father, it is our duty to look after our children. But you find that sometimes a time comes when you do some things for your kids, and if they don't show appreciation, then a father also says that I'm doing so much for you, but there's no appreciation. He feels it a bit in his heart. That little is only a problem, but if it is done, the people must talk about it. Then obviously, this is not you wanting the person to show you appreciation, but it's actually you want the person to speak out loud for the action that you had done for that person, or the financial aid you had given for that person, and that is not correct.
Jazakallah, Mawlana, just to remind our listeners, time right now is exactly 9:30. You are listening to our weekly panel discussion. This week's topic is work for cause and not for applause. And we have two guests this evening. One is Mawlana Arshad Fakir, and second guest is Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat. Now, Mawlana Abdullah Hajjat Sahab, I also want to ask you a similar question. What I asked Mawlana Arshad Fakir is that sometimes we find that people assist others with ulterior motives, and then the people normally says, now he owes me one. You never know when I'll need a good turn. So does this destroy our reward, and will it be regarded as insincere and riya, Mawlana?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think Mawlana Rashid has done justice to the question, but nevertheless, since I'm being asked the question, a very simple reply that yes, this obviously does destroy the reward. What actually happens, Mawlana, is that we know a person who is very influential in the community or in society. That person may be a very wealthy person, or that person may be having, you know, the buzzword context everywhere. Now, when that person does something wrong, then I hold back and I don't speak. I don't say anything to that person that why you are doing this, what you are doing is incorrect. But on the other hand, if another person who is poor, who is, you know, is naive, who doesn't have any sense of respect in society, people look down upon such a person, if that person must do the same wrong, now I will blow a tantrum, I will throw a tantrum, and I will blow my horns off and start taking off what that person is, give Quran ayat and give ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, and know everything.